Father, we just thank you and praise you for today, Lord. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are moving in us, through us, in our meetings, Lord. We thank you and praise you that the gifts of the Spirit is manifesting in us as we flow in them and learn about them, Lord, so we're not afraid to use our gifts. So, Lord, we just thank you and praise you that the gifts are not only to be used for believers, but unbelievers too, which is outside of these four walls. So, Lord, we just give you praise this morning. And we thank you, Lord, for revelation. In Jesus' name. Okay. So, the study is, this is part three of unwrapping the gifts. And the gifts are from the Father, from the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to have to do a quick review because a lot of people weren't here and they won't understand anything we're doing. So I have to do a quick review, okay? So in review from 2 weeks ago, I did part one and part two, and all these messages are on the website for you to listen to. Now, some of the highlights that we went over about the gifts. In 1 Peter 4:10, it says, as everyone has received the gift, even so minister the same to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And then I gave you two definitions of a word study for gifts and grace. Gifts means in the Greek charisma, right? And charisma, the word charismatic comes from that word, and it means the gifted ones. So we are called the gifted ones. I like that. Charisma means a spiritual endowment or a miraculous faculty. The root of charisma is charis. In Greek, it means the word grace. So grace in the Greek means graciousness, divine influence upon the heart, and its reflection in the life, divine favor. Grace is usually said to be unmerited favor or divine enabling. Grace to me means when I can't do something, God comes in and does it through me. Amen? Grace to do something you can't do in the flesh. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says the grace gifts are given to profit the church and also a continuous revelation. Profit here means bear together, contribute to be better for. The grace gifts are for the maturing of the church body and also a sign to the unbeliever that God is real. Okay, there are three divisions of gifts. In quick review in Romans 12:6, it says that these gifts are from the Father. There are seven gifts that the Father gives besides our natural born gifts and talents. These are called motivational gifts. These gifts are what drives you. It's how you serve as a goal in life. And they are prophecy, serving or helping, teaching, exhortation or encouragement, giving or contributing, leading, mercy, or compassion. The next division is found in Ephesians 4:7-16, and they are the gifts from Jesus, and they are the fivefold ministry gifts. And they are the office of apostle, the office of prophet, the office of evangelist, the office of pastor and teacher, and we already went through these in depth. So you can get that message online. Okay, the last division of gifts are the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, which are in three categories. Before we got into these categories, I shared a few things with you. These nine gifts of the Spirit are grace gifts given to the body of Christ. Each of the Holy gift of the Holy Spirit functions by grace of God, working in and through the individual's life. 1 Corinthians 12:11 says, gifts are given by the Holy Spirit. They cannot be earned. Gifts are given as the Spirit wills them. He determines what gifts we each receive. Each man or woman is given gifts. Every Spirit-filled believer has been given at least one or more of the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:6 says, these gifts are evidence. God is working in his people. the Lord directs the believer in use of these gifts, we should pray that we become more yielded to the leading of the Holy Spirit in these gifts. Paul also encourages us to desire these gifts, to eagerly want them. Our responsibility is to seek the Lord to know his or her grace gifts. We have to have faith and the want to step out to use these gifts. It's better to try and not succeed than not try at all, right? The only way to learn is through trial and error. We all are learning and maturing, and that's for sure, aren't we? These gifts need to be developed. The safest place is to use them in the local church as we submit to the pastor and the leadership of the body so we can be corrected and taught in love so we can learn and grow. We all have to start someplace, and this would be a good beginning to do that. Gifts must work along with the fruit of the Spirit, which is in Galatians 5:22, and also in 1 Corinthians, it says the gifts without love will not profit anything, or will sound like a clanging cymbal. Well, we don't want to do that, right? The nine fruit of the Spirit, which is in Galatians 5:22-26, are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These nine fruits work together with the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, giving us serious power at our disposal as we walk with God, with his anointing in our everyday life. The Holy Spirit can manifest any one of these nine gifts to a believer at any time. These gifts are powerful, supernatural, and miraculous manifestations direct from the Holy Spirit himself. These nine gifts of the Holy Spirit are not just for the fivefold ministry, but for every believer to seek and to receive. Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 1:6 through 7, he says, "Stir up the gift inside of you, and not to fear. For God did not give you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind." What Paul is saying is, he gave us faith, he gave us the Father's love, he gave us the power from the Holy Spirit, and he gave us the mind of Christ. Scriptures tell us not to quench the Spirit and do not despise prophecies. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, which I'm going to read to you. I felt like I needed to read that today. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. It says, "Never restrain or put out the fire of the Holy Spirit. And don't be one who scorns prophecies, but be faithful to examine them by putting them to the test. And afterward, hold tightly to what has proven to be right. Avoid every appearance of evil." So there it tells us to not quench the Holy Spirit or despise spirit of prophecies or the word of prophecies. Okay. All right. Going through the nine gifts of the Spirit, they fall into three categories. The first category is the gift of revelation, and this includes the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. That's what we went through already. So if you need to learn from that, look at your study guide, or you could listen to the teaching on the website. Today we're going to be doing a study. The next category is the gifts of inspiration or the vocal gifts. This includes the gift of prophecy, various kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. And the last category is the power gifts, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, and the gift of the working of miracles. How many want those? Yeah. Well, we'll get to those next time, next week. We went through the first category, which we looked at through on the study sheet. Like I just said, in quick review of the first category, just to refresh your memory, the word of wisdom is a supernatural revelation or insight into the divine will and purpose, often given by the Spirit to solve perplexing problems and situations. Now, the word of knowledge, it is a supernatural revelation or insight into the divine mind, will, or plan to know things that could not be known to oneself. And the discerning of spirits is a supernatural revelation or insight into the realm of spirits to detect them and their plans. Okay. And I gave you all examples about that. And so, like I said, if you need to learn about that, go back. The second category is the gifts of inspiration or the vocal gifts, which are the gift of prophecy, various kinds of tongues, and the inspiration of tongues. Now before we get into it, let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 7 through 10. Now I'm using the Passion today, so every translation is a little different. First Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. You're all there? All right. Each believer is given a continuous revelation by the Holy Spirit to benefit not just himself, but all. For example, the Spirit gives to the one the gift of the word of wisdom. To another, the same Spirit gives the gift of the word of revelation knowledge. And to another, the same Spirit gives the gift of faith. And to another, the same Spirit gives gifts of healing. And to another, the power to work miracles. And to another, the gift of prophecy. And to another, the gift to discern what the Spirit is speaking. And to another, the gift of speaking different kinds of tongues. And to another, the gift of interpretation of tongues. Remember, it is the same Holy Spirit who distributes, activates, and operates these different gifts as he chooses for each believer. Hallelujah. Okay, so let's get out your manifestation gifts of the Holy Spirit. Turn to page 2 in the study guide. Okay, manifestation of the gifts. Okay, the gift of prophecy. This is a supernatural utterance in the native tongue. It is a miracle of divine utterance not conceived by human thought or reasoning. It includes speaking into men and women for the edification, exhortation, and comfort. This means prophecy is not a teaching, a correction, and if you have a pen, put preaching there also. Now, I do have a lot of typos and corrections, so I hope you all have a pen. Does anybody need a pen? Yeah, I noticed that last night when I was going through this again. That don't sound right. So put preaching in there also. Okay, also we ask that you do not prophesy dates, no mates, and no babies. This God-given special anointing to serve and to strengthen the body of Christ and others by speaking either foretelling or forthtelling timely words from God. These messages of prophecy are spoken in particular moments as directed by the Holy Spirit. People with this gift have a clear idea of what God is saying, are known for publicly communicating God's word using words, messages, or pictures that are specific to the spiritual, physical, or emotional health of the congregation. They desire for people to know God, understand his word, and to submit to his will, have learned to hear the Holy Spirit and follow his leading. Now, there's some points that I just want to emphasize here. The gift of prophecy is a word from the Holy Spirit that lines up with Scripture. It's for edifying or to build up. It's always encouraging. It should cheer you up, bring comfort, bring hope, bring a renewed strength. It also stirs you up towards God. The word can also bring deliverance from a heaviness or a depression, and these are for individuals or for a whole church body. Now, it's not, like I said, it's not a teaching, and it's not a preaching, and it's not a correction. Now, here at the Father's house, we ask that you do not prophesy dates, mates, and no babies. These three things can cause problems to the people receiving the word, and if incorrect, may bring discouragement and negativity. It also involves the will of the person receiving the word. Even a person in the office of prophet refrain from these three areas. How the office of a prophet differs from the gift of prophecy. The difference between the gift of prophecy and the office of a prophet is called a mouthpiece or a spokesman of God. A prophet is often inclined to speak words that sometimes convey revelation and or direction. Prophets also speak with insight into a person's life. This insight is often given by the word of knowledge. The prophet's ministry can often declare things that have happened in a person's past. However, the ministry of the prophet often emphasizes the prediction of future events. Caution. All believers are not to look to prophets to hear from God. The Lord Jesus said that all believers are to hear from God for themselves. In John 10:27, it says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." The prophet's ministry often confirms what a believer already knows. It is confirmation to them. The prophet also gives insight into God's purposes and plans for individual lives and for the nations. In the Old Testament, God spoke to his people through prophets. In the New Testament, God spoke to us through his Son. Now, I got to look up Hebrews 1:1-10. Hebrews 1:1-10. It says, throughout our history, God has spoken to our ancestors by his prophets in many different ways. The revelation he gave them was only a fragment at a time, building one truth upon another. But to us living in these last days, this is what the Passion says here. God now speaks to us openly in the language of a Son, the anointed heir of everything. For through him, God created a panorama of all things and all time. Hallelujah. And then in Hebrews 4:12, God also speaks through believers through written word of God, which is very important. Right? And everybody knows this one. For we have the living word of God, which is full of energy, like a two-mouthed sword. It will even penetrate to the very core of our being, where soul and spirit, bone and marrow meet. It interprets and reveals the true thoughts and secret motives of our hearts. There is not one person who can hide their thoughts from God, for nothing that we do remains a secret and nothing created is concealed. But everything is exposed and defenseless before his eyes, to whom we must render an account. Amen. You like that? And he also, of course, speaks to us through the ministry of the prophet. But remember, we must spend time with God so he could speak to us personally. All believers are to desire the gift of prophecy, and all may prophesy. That's in Corinthians 14:1 and 1 Corinthians 31. Maybe I should turn there. Fourteen one And then 14:31. So it says in 14:1, it is good that you are enthusiastic and passionate about spiritual gifts, especially prophecy. When someone speaks in tongues, I'm going ahead of myself. Okay. And then look at 1 Corinthians 14:31. For you can all prophesy in turn and in an environment where all present can be instructed, encouraged, and strengthened. Keep in mind that the anointing to prophesy doesn't mean that the speaker is out of control. He can wait his turn. For God is the God of harmony, not confusion, as is the pattern in all churches of God's holy believers. Amen. And that's important to know that. Okay? On occasions when the Holy Spirit moves upon his people in a congregation and inspires them to move in prophecy, this is the spirit of prophecy that is at work. And that's found in Revelation 19:10. It says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And here are things that may hinder the flow of the gift of prophecy through us. Fear of man. We must not fear what someone will think of the prophecy we give. It is more important to have a healthy fear and respect for God. Personal confusion. When an individual is struggling with confusion, he or she will have difficulty hearing the voice of the Lord clearly. Attitude problems. If a person is stubborn, proud, unforgiving, or rebellious, his or her attitude will hinder the flow of the prophetic anointing through his or her life. Discouragement. If a Christian becomes discouraged, he or she will lose the zeal and the enthusiasm to minister prophecy. If you are impatient and or insensitive towards others. When a believer is impatient, insensitive, or unkind towards others, he or she will stifle the flow of the prophetic. This occurs because the insensitive individual is not walking in God's love as he or she should be doing. Okay, so that's some of the things that may hinder us from having the gift of prophecy working through us. Now let's go back to the study guide. And we're going to go through to page 3. Now I'm going to go through both of these because they work together. Okay? And you'll understand why. I'm sure you understand that already, but you'll understand. Okay, next is the various kinds of tongues. This is a supernatural utterance in other languages that are not known to the speaker. This God-given special anointing to serve and strengthen the body of Christ and others by speaking in various languages unknown by the speaker, whether of a man or angels. This is not the same gift as given to all who are baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. We just want to clarify that, okay? Which is for private prayer and personal edification. The instruction on the use of this gift is found in 1 Corinthians 14:27, 28. This public use of tongues is always followed by an interpretation of the tongue in order that the hearers may be edified, comforted, encouraged, given direction or warning, people with this gift. Now, before I go any further, it emphasizes that during worship when we have this lull time, and we're going to be really looking at that next week after we study all these things. So we're aware of everything in our surroundings in the congregation. And as we are moving in the Holy Spirit and we have this lull time, it's very rare that someone comes out with a tongue. I mean, it doesn't happen all the time. But that tongue, if that person doesn't have the interpretation, there has to be an interpreter. of that tongue, okay? So, okay, let's look at these, the people with this gift. It says, have a personal prayer language or of tongues. Often speak in various tongues. Believe God is prompting them to communicate this message, often through prayer, in a specific language unknown to them. They intercede for others in prayer using unknown words, sounds, and utterances. They desire opportunities to pray using these unknown languages for God's glory. They are able to keep quiet if there is not an interpreter present. So you got to be aware of that by the Holy Spirit. If you don't think there's going to be an interpreter, just keep it. May or may not know the theme of the interpretation of their tongue. Okay. The next section is interpretation of tongues. This is a supernatural ability to interpret in the native tongue what is uttered in other languages not known by the one who interprets by the Spirit. This God-given special anointing to serve and strengthen the body of Christ and others by understanding God's specific message spoken in tongues by another. This gift is always preceded by a tongue which needs to be interpreted. The interpretation of the tongue is received by revelation from the Holy Spirit. It is not a translation of what the spoken in a tongue. Meaning, don't try to translate it, because that's not the Holy Spirit. It's not a translation. Like, we're not, you know, when we meet somebody that speaks Spanish, but we need an interpretation of what the person's saying, it's not that, okay? All right, where am I? Okay, the purpose of this gift, when coupled with the gift of tongues, is to edify, comfort, encourage, given direction, or warn the hearers. People with this gift, they have learned to hear the Holy Spirit and follow His leading. They have a clear idea of what God is saying, even though the language used by the speaker is unknown to them at the specific time. They are able to translate words and messages of God in a way that edifies, comforts, and exhorts believers. They usually have a strong prayer life and may also prophesy. Okay. It reminds us that these three gifts of prophecy, they're all prophecy, okay? Whether you speak it in English or in a tongue, and of course the interpretation. And all prophecy needs to be judged, okay? If it is from the Holy Spirit or not. And that's in 1 Corinthians 14:29. Okay. Handout for part three. Okay, here I have a lot of typos and errors, I think. Okay? Sometimes when I'm typing, you know, my head is going faster than my fingers, so. Okay, handout for part three. Let's go. Judging prophecy and tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Now, this handout I'm giving you is from a ministry classes that Barry and I have done years ago. So we went through many ministry classes, and I got this part, which is really good, from a book that was given to us. So prophecy is to be judged, of course, in 1 Corinthians 14:29. Judging a prophecy does not mean condemning an individual if he or she says or does something wrong. The leaders of the church judge a prophecy to determine if it is from the Holy Spirit or not. Here are several steps that should be followed when judging prophecies. Okay. Does the prophetic word line up with the written word of God? Is there a witness of the Spirit on that prophetic word? Does the prophecy edify, comfort, or encourage? Does the prophecy bring a sense of conviction, which leads to repentance and a holier life? Does the prophecy come to pass? What is the quality of the character? Characters, typo. or lifestyle of the person who gave the prophecy. What should you do if you're visiting a church and feel that you have a prophecy? This is if you're visiting, okay? We feel that it's unwise for you to prophesy unless you know the guidelines of the church. Also, if they do not know you, the pastor and the leaders may not give you the freedom to prophesy in that church. Also, that church may not flow in the gifts of the Spirit. That would be very bad, okay? But if you receive a strong prophetic word from the Lord, write it out and hand it to the pastor. This is using wisdom. Meaning, is that coming from the Spirit or coming from the flesh? The person that's going to be judging the word? Both ways. You don't agree with that? Oh, you don't understand? You still don't understand? Yes, if it could be your job, or you could call, which I'm going to get to, you could also call somebody else to witness it, that you know, say like Steve or Annette, somebody that, or, you know, a leader that flows in the prophetic. Yeah, and I'll get to that too, but we have to make sure, yes. Knowing that it's correct or not. Yeah, if you get like a check, like I call it a check or a red flag. It's like, oh, that don't sound right. You know, I don't know if I want to receive that, you know. And I'll get to receiving words too in a moment, because these are all the guidelines that we have to be careful of. These are good questions. Okay. All right, guidelines in church meetings. The Apostle Paul spoke of the importance of edifying other believers when they gather together in a corporate setting or a meeting. Paul indicated that if he spoke in tongues publicly in the audience of an entire congregation, the congregation would not be edified because they would not understand what he was saying. Therefore, Paul instructed the believers to pray to interpret a message in tongues so that the congregation would always be edified, and that's found in 1 Corinthians 14:14. Believers were instructed not to give a message in tongues to the congregation unless someone was present who had the gift of interpretation of the tongue, and that's 1 Corinthians 14:28. Believers may sing or speak in tongues while gathered with other Christians. However, everyone who does speak or sing in tongues should follow some practical guidelines. Okay, do not speak or sing in tongues when a minister or another person is addressing the congregation, as this would be disruptive and out of order. Okay? When a believer is giving a message in tongues or a word of prophecy, others in the congregation who also have a message should remain quiet until the person who is speaking has finished. That's 1 Corinthians 14:29. Be mindful of others having a turn or an opportunity. We all have to kind of flow in the Spirit and just know what's going on, you know. It is appropriate to pray or sing in the Spirit in tongues when the congregation is praying and are singing together. 1 Corinthians 14:15-18. Correct that. I made a boo-boo there. It's not 39:40. It's 15:18. And then the next line didn't make any sense. Cross out in the middle of the sentence, in the. So it says, the individual who prays or sings should remember not to pray or sing over the voices of the congregation unless that person believes he or she has a message to give the church in tongues in this case, or a prophetic word. It should say, or a prophetic word. The person should wait until the congregation has become quiet, and then he or she can give the message in tongues or the word without shouting and or being disruptive or out of order. Everyone should be able to have a turn. This is done during our worship time. Okay. Does anybody have any questions on that? Yes. Here, go on, Mike.
Just as an example, when we're in the spirit of prophecy, sometimes when you hear, you might think you hear three different interpretations. So in the spirit, you have to pick which one's right, and the other two just might be another prophecy because you're in the spirit of prophecy. So it's just a learning thing.
That's a good point. Okay. Anybody else have a question? Annette, you want to add to that or clarify something? You sure? Because somebody else may have that on their mind and afraid to say anything. You mean, how do you know that it's right? Yeah. Gift of discernment. It really depends on what they're saying. It has to always agree with the word. If it doesn't agree with the word, we need to throw it out, you know. Or See, it could be different because it could be for the whole body, and then it could be for an individual. So it's, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And the Holy Spirit, we have to rely, and it always has to edify, exhort, encourage, cheer you up.
Usually the leader, like if it would be Karen or the worship team, it seems because they're flowing at the time, they're usually the ones that don't know which one's right. Not all the time, but usually.
Okay. Anybody else have anything else to put in that? Yes, Jim. You got to go on mics.
It is possible to have a tongue and various two or three or whatever interpretations that are also coinciding with the tongue the way the Lord wants to speak. You could have more than one interpretation, okay? It's not that one is false and one is true. It's a possibility that you could have two or three interpretations that would be true.
As long as they all line up with Scripture and it doesn't condemn or, you know, is there any other questions with that before I go on? That's good, really good points. Okay, you understand now, Annette? Okay, good. All right. No, it's good to ask questions. I want you to ask questions. Okay, that's how we learn. Okay, page 3. When a believer does give a message in tongues or a word of prophecy to a congregation, he or she should not shout. Shouting and raising one's voice can hurt the ears of those who stand within the close proximity to the person who is shouting. If you have a word, quietly go a word of prophecy. Like if we're already done with worship, If you have a word, quietly go to Steve or another leader and whisper the word. He or she will judge it and the timing to give it. Okay? Also, you could raise your hand at a proper time to get my attention to speak the word to the congregation. Sometimes Kathy, she's not here today, she'll write down what she hears during the whole message, and she'll raise her hand, and I'll call upon her. Okay? Again, during worship time, and if you have a message in tongues or a word of prophecy, for a quiet moment, and then give the message. Also, after that, the interpretation should come of the tongue. Messages should always be judged by the leadership. If an individual, that doesn't mean I'm going to stop and say that's right, or you know what I mean. We'll just let it go, but later on we'll come to the person quietly, okay? And if it's really bad, then I'll have to, you know, speak to the whole congregation openly just to correct it. If an individual refuses to have he or she judged by leadership, it is out of order. Also, when a visitor comes to the church, now this is important, guys. When a visitor comes to this church and has a word for you personally, it is your responsibility to refuse to hear it or to hear it. Put that in there. Refuse to hear it or hear it. Because you don't know that person, okay? If you want to hear it, call another leader to stand with you and judge the word. Okay? Because we had many bad people had come here and they spoke some really bad things to our congregation privately on the side. And that bad seed can grow in your spirit. Okay? Remember, words are powerful. Yes. A visitor coming, you don't know them. Okay? And they think they're prophetic people. And they would go, usually they go secretly, and they'll just, sometimes it's in the foyer or in the parking lot, and they say, hey, I got a word for you. And we had this one man, this is years ago, and he was always after the women in the church and the young ones, and he would pull them aside, and he'd start speaking to them. And then later on they would come to me and we told them, you're not allowed to prophesy to anybody in the church. Later we found out that he was put in jail for molesting women. You know, and we, you know, a lot of our, you know, some people are not mature enough to understand about words of prophecy. You know, they may think, oh, I'm going to get a word from God. They get all excited, and then this person gives them some kind of nonsense stuff, you know, and it's so bad, you know. So we got to watch out for that. And even if you see somebody, you don't know, oh, that person, I've never seen that person here before. Just keep an eye on them, you know, make sure, because you don't know who's going to come in here. You know, and especially when revival hits and people are coming and coming and coming, we don't, you know, we got to watch. So keep it a safe place. That's the most important thing. We want to be a safe place, right? So that's how I ended it. Okay, so next week we'll go into part 4, and that's the power gifts. And what I want you to do, when you come to church, no, this is when you're, during next week's meeting, don't force anything. I don't want you to force anything. But don't be afraid, okay? You know, as we're praying in the Spirit and we're worshiping God and, you know, just let the Spirit flow. And if you get something from the Lord, you know, just let it go. Don't be afraid. Okay? So next week during our worship time, we want to do this.